Live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 12th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin, and man, we are pumped to be here on a free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. It's a nice day outside. It's supposed to be a nice weekend here on the plains. And there is so much to get to on a free-for-all Friday. College football, high school football, game picks, and more. We got all that coming up for you here over the next couple of hours. Christian, happy Friday, sir. How are you?
Happy Friday, man. Doing well. Not as happy as you are, as I have to leave the confines of Auburn, Alabama tonight.
You poor thing.
For the first time this
that
season.
That whole 25-minute drive you got to make to Beulah today.
Yeah, I know. It's a pain. We're gonna survive. We're gonna make it happen. The bumps and the bruises along the way.
The baby bird is leaving the nest
yes,
for the first time.
I am. I have the car packed and everything. I mean, it's uncharted waters. It's unfamiliar territory.
I believe in you.
You're unfamiliar with as well, as you haven't been home in what feels like forever, but you now have a month straight at the Duck.
Yeah, I looked up directions to Duck Sanford Stadium again because I forgot. and so, yes, we are home for the next month. But, yeah, it's exciting for you. The big matchup tonight with Beulah, huh?
It is. Yeah, it is. It was a really, really fun game, a weird game last year, but really looking forward to the rematch this year. Again, Lee Scott and Beulah only meeting for the second time with Lee Scott Academy's second year in the AHSAA. They bring a 3-0 record to Beulah, to the Bobcats, who have a 1-2 record, but we're told that that does not tell the whole story. We saw the athleticism that they brought, the scrappiness that Beulah brings to the football field every single time they touch it. So it is going to be a very fun game. It's going to be a very fun day here on the show as well. We're about to get our guy Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports to join us, give all of his best game day bets for tomorrow and Sunday as well, some of those specialty packages that he's willing to give out to all the customers. We got Auburn football news on the kicking side. We're going to talk a little bit about the running game as well before we dive into, have a little bit of a deeper conversation in our high school sports. All of that in hour number one. And for those that join us on Free for All Friday, man, you know what hour number two looks like. We have our 10 games of the week. We dive into those games. We make our official picks, and at 3:30 we dive in to Auburn in South Alabama.
Yep, it's going to be a fun show today. So outside of our conversation with Lee Sterling, who we're about to get to in just a few minutes, you can be a part of the show today. We do want to hear from you on this Friday afternoon. Again, after we talk with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, who Christian is actively calling as we speak. After him, it's wide open. We want you to call in, give us your picks for this weekend, your thoughts on Auburn versus South Alabama. Maybe it's a pick for another game around the SEC, around college football, maybe some of those games that we are going to be picking coming up in hour number two. So you'll be able to give us a call at 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. 90, about 2:15 and on is when you can give us a call after we're done talking with Lee Sterling. But you can always send us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067 if you've got quick thoughts, maybe a game prediction. You have an upset pick for this weekend, send it to us in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And a guy that I know's got an upset pick somewhere, he's with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. He's also the co-host of the Locked On Bets podcast. Our man Lee Sterling joins us to get us started on this Friday. How are you doing, my man? We're another week into college football.
Yeah, how would you know I have an upset?
I have a feeling, Lee. I have a feeling.
In your ear? All right. Might have a couple of them. You never know.
Uh-oh. Well, man, there's a ton of games to get to. You're coming off a winning week last week, so now it's time to back it up, my friend. We got tons of good games involving SEC teams, plus a game of the week that we'll tell people about at the end. Let's start, my man. Let's jump right into this thing. An underrated game, I think, in the SEC this weekend, South Carolina and Vanderbilt. It's Lenora Sellers and the Gamecocks versus Diego Pavia and the Vanderbilt Commodores. You've got it at South Carolina -5.5. What are you feeling right here?
Yeah, so it's very rare that you see a common opponent this early in the season, but both teams have it. And when I look at this game here, I think there's a clear-cut winner. I mean, I think South Carolina is pretty good, but they beat Virginia Tech, and it wasn't easy. Punt return by freshman Vakari Swain was the difference. And what did this Vanderbilt team do to Virginia Tech? They put up 44 points, 20 more than South Carolina, and that doesn't even include the punt return for the touchdown. Then last week, South Carolina plays South Carolina State, which is nothing. And now South Carolina State outstats them 253. Very misleading 38-10 win because Bakari Swain had another two punt returns for touchdowns here. Lenore Sellers, he has just a little over 300 passing yards in two games here. So I just can't roll with South Carolina. I think this game's going down to the wire, and you're getting anywhere from 4.5 to 5 points here. I'm taking the points. I think the early team is favored. Vanderbilt straight up 27-23.
How about that? Starting with the first one. I could feel it on this Friday, Lee. I could feel it.
Diego Pavia gets it done on the road. Georgia and Tennessee, arguably the best game of the weekend, if not of the afternoon slates. Georgia with 8 straight wins over Tennessee, but now they make their way to Knoxville, Tennessee. They make their way to Neyland Stadium. Josh Heupel's got his new quarterback toy, Joey Aguilar, that's throwing the ball around the diamond, around the field, rather. They have their quarterback of the future. Georgia -3.5. Can Kirby and the Dogs walk into Neyland Stadium and get the job done?
So, have you guys seen Marshall this year?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. They are not good at all. Charles Huff, their head coach, who left last year, I don't know if I've ever seen a team stripped and absolutely leave a program as quick as they did in following him to Southern Mississippi and other teams in parts unknown. Almost no one's left. I mean, the couple starters that were left, I think there were two, maybe their moms and dads wouldn't let them travel somewhere. Crazy. So I don't think that Georgia's been tested. Mm-hmm. And I think the talent level's down a little bit from the last couple years. So with that being said, I'm certainly not in love with their quarterback. I think Gunnar Stockton is a gamer. I think his teammates love the kid, but I think he's a backup. I mean, he's a game manager. That's it. Wow. On the other side, I mean, how did Tennessee just luck into Joey Aguilar? I mean, Nico, if you watch Nico Anava play for UCLA, you're like, wow, this kid has fallen off the map. Joey Aguilar, he's a perfect team for his skill set here. I know Georgia's won 8 straight, but I think the skill set and what they have and the players just isn't quite there. Just look at the talent. Doesn't wow you anymore here, offensively or defensively. I'm going to go with Joey Swagular. He's going to get carried off the field like Rudy did.
Oh, no.
Run team favorite again. Tennessee straight up, 27-23.
Oh, my gosh. We're getting started with a heater on this Friday afternoon from Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. That's the place you can go if you want to have some extra fun this weekend across college football, NFL football, carry all the way into Monday night as well. Lots going on with Lee Sterling on this Friday afternoon. So two upsets in a row, Vanderbilt over South Carolina, Tennessee over Georgia. I got a weird feeling, though, that trend comes to an end right now when Florida has to pick up and move and go to Baton Rouge, lick their wounds, and walk into Garrett Nussmeier at Tiger Stadium by 7.5-point underdogs.
Big game here for Florida and their head coach. Now, last year, if they lose that game to LSU, I truly believe that would have put them at 4-6. Billy Napier would have been done. He wouldn't have made it to Monday. But somehow, second half, they pulled it off, looked like they weren't going to be able to get it done, but give them credit, and they win the next two games, win the bowl game, finish 8-5, and you're thinking, well, things are pretty good. Starts off this year, first game, you know, pretty good. They beat Long Island 55-0. They even missed three field goals and still scored 55, and Long Island pulled off an upset. So you're thinking, well, maybe this is the year they climb back, maybe – you know, good season, only lose two or three games, but then South Florida. And South Florida didn't even get pressure on the quarterback. They only had three quarterback pressures.
Yeah.
And you only score 16 points, settling for a bunch of field goals here. The team gets penalized 11 times for 103 yards. And I'm watching DJ Lagway. He's wearing a sleeve, a white sleeve on his left leg. Something I think is wrong with him. He's just not moving the same here. So, I think the difference between this LSU team and the last couple years is their speed, especially at linebacker. You don't see guys like they got at linebacker. They come out of nowhere and make plays on quarterbacks, running backs, receivers. This is the best defense by far we've seen in 4 years for Brian Kelly. Death Valley, they swallow teams whole if you're not disciplined and playing at a high level. I think Florida's in trouble. Billy Napier is on borrowed time. I think this is the circle game for LSU. I know people say they get up for Alabama as their biggest game. I think it's Florida because that game last year knocked them out of the playoffs here. Revenge, revenge, revenge. Goodbye, Sun Belt Billy. The right team is favored, LSU 31-14.
Love it. Love it, Lee. Get Sunbelt Billy out of there, right? Alabama and Wisconsin. This was a game that a lot of people were really, really excited for last year, and then Van Dyke got hurt on either the opening drive or the second drive of the game, and Alabama was able to cruise to a victory now after Alabama falling to Florida State, then demolishes the Louisiana Monroe. And you feel like the confidence is slowly beginning to work its way back. Alabama favored by almost 3 touchdowns at home, the 11 o'clock slate. Can Wisconsin, can the Badgers walk into Bryant-Denny and get the job done? Or does Alabama find a way to keep the hot streak rolling?
I agree with you. I thought that changed the whole game. I don't think Alabama covers if he goes out injured. But, you know, some things have changed even more. Another season, Wisconsin doesn't have those offensive linemen. You used to have someone drafted in the first round every single year.
Yeah.
Not anymore. They used to have running backs, and they would always have another running back behind him ready to go. We're not seeing that. So that's a real problem for Wisconsin. Then a quarterback. They can't find a guy. Bring in a quarterback from Maryland. He's hurt. Now they bring in as his backup Danny O'Neill from San Diego State. He's 14 for 30. For 155 yards and 2 interceptions here. It has not been pretty for Alabama. They beat Louisiana Monroe High School last week, 73-0. I think they're going to have a pretty big win here. They got to keep winning here just to keep the fans and everyone off of them. Bama, 38-10.
Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. He also is the co-host of the Locked On Bets podcast, a daily podcast covering all things sports betting. So be sure you check that out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. All right, the game that the folks in town want to know about, Lee, it's Auburn and it's South Alabama. While this isn't the most exciting game on paper, it is Auburn's final tune-up game before SEC play begins, before Jackson Arnold makes his return to Norman next week. Tigers by 25. Right now, Lee, how do you feel about Auburn on homecoming inside Jordan-Hare tomorrow morning?
Yeah, so South Alabama, the way they like to travel is run the football. That's the desired method of their offense. The Tigers' defensive front has been dominant against the run, allowing just 1.1 yards per carry. So think that this Auburn team is gaining confidence with Jackson Arnold, and think that they're going to try to work on the passing game here and work out some kinks and keep the penalties down. If they can do that, I know South Alabama gave Tulane a scare last week, but I don't see it coming again 2 weeks in a row. Auburn, 43-13.
He's got fans all over the place in this town. Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports. Check him out at ParamountSports.com. My friend, plug it all. Tell the people how they can find you, what they need to know moving into this weekend. And you've also got a game of the week for people that give you a call right now.
Yeah, we sure do. So the game of the week is going to be Notre Dame and Texas A&M. How big is that game?
Tell you what.
You want to get that game, just be one of the first five callers. Give you that game for free. And I also like the game tonight, Arizona and Kansas State. You want to get Notre Dame, Texas A&M, and Auburn. Arizona and Kansas State. Be one of the first five callers, 800-400-9741. And we have our biggest game, maybe in two or three years, going this weekend. Found a game, I think the line's off 14 to 17 points. I don't think I've ever said that in a game in the last decade. So anyone wants to get involved, just go to the website, ParamountSports.com. Like I said, got our 50-unit max wager. We are now, get this, 72-28 lifetime on these games. So just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Man, we would not want to start our show any other way on a Friday afternoon than with Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Man, we appreciate you, all your hard work and your time, and always enjoy talking with you on a Friday, man. Enjoy the weekend, have some fun, and we'll talk to you again next Friday, okay?
You too, guys. Take care.
Thanks so much. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Look, I know our listeners are involved in that. Our listeners like talking spreads and betting lines and favorites and underdogs. Look, we know who our audience is, okay? Go check him out, ParamountSports.com, right now, and check out his podcast, Locked On Bets, as well. There's no other place you need to go to get ready for Week 3 of college football than ParamountSports.com.
Except us on air. When we're on air, we know nothing about it.
No, I don't know anything about it. How about him, though? He started us off with two underdogs winning outright. He picked Vandy over South Carolina, Tennessee over Georgia. He ain't buying Florida. He ain't buying Wisconsin, and he ain't buying South Alabama. And he's going to give you Texas A&M and Notre Dame if you give him a call right now, or check him out at ParamountSports.com. I mean, that was a banger. That was awesome.
Between Lee Sterling and Jacob Goins, I mean, between the first 2 weeks of picks, I mean, I know where you're getting your picks from. I know where you're going to get them.
Hey, I'm just saying, maybe we shouldn't have started with him today, because maybe there's some correlation between what Lee Sterling said and what Jacob Goins is going to say come up in about an hour or so. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I got to make up some ground.
See, you went with that strategy last week, and how'd that work?
No, I'm just saying I will make up some ground this week.
Wow, he's expecting the leader of the race to trip and fall so he can make up ground.
No, you just got to slowly, again, you just slowly work your way. I'm pacing myself down the marathon. See, you're a cross-country guy, so you just know how to sprint, right? You don't know anything else about running.
No, I think that's backwards.
No, that's exactly. It's mind games, and then I just all of a sudden on the very last lap, you're sitting there looking to your left and your right. It's like the videos of the marathon runners that are just sprinting or slowly jogging to start celebrating, and somebody comes and runs right by him. I might give you a little leg kick on the way to where you trip and tabletop you, but hey, we'll figure it out.
Funny enough, as a cross-country runner, I was the definition of start fast and end slow. My 3 miles were terrible.
What more do you need to know,
My first folks? Mile what was the fastest, my second mile was second fastest, and my third mile was typically terrible because I just couldn't get it in my brain. I'd get so amped up and fired up, I would just, boom, I'd take off. And
makes
then,
sense.
By the 0.1 mile at the end, I was just dead. So I was just done for. So, again, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports at ParamountSports.com. If you do want to get into that sort of thing, he's got you covered. He's the place to be. 800-400-9041. Give him a call right now. He's going to give you Notre Dame, Texas A&M for free. He's also going to give you the game tonight as well, and he gave his picks for us earlier in the segment. Okay, we'll take our first break here in hour number one. Come back. We got some Auburn injury updates to talk about as they prepare for South Alabama in less than 24 hours. We talk about that next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports for joining us, as he does every Friday throughout football season. And then periodically throughout the year, we get him on for Super Bowl Sunday and different things like that. And so if you missed his picks or if you want to be involved with him, check it out, ParamountSports.com, and he'll be you could catch up with that in the podcast version of the show after we're off the air today. We got a couple of minutes before we start talking Auburn generically, right, about South Alabama, some of these conversations we've had. And, hey, phone lines are open the rest of the show, so give us a call. I know you guys have picks and ideas and just some thoughts on the game tomorrow between Auburn and South Alabama. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. If you have a game pick, maybe a wild prediction on a player or somebody that's going to score or you want to see score and things, and you can do that by giving us a call, 334-321-1390. Or shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. You can get those in now. And we do have some updates about kicking and the running back room and things like that. So we'll get to that here in just a moment. But it looks like we do have somebody calling in. Christian, who do we have wanting to get on the air?
We do. The first phone caller here on this Friday afternoon, Michael in Auburn. You're on the line. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing good, guys. I didn't know if y'all were going to mention it or not, but I saw that they would be wearing the all-whites at home this weekend. I thought that was kind of a little different, a little unorthodox of what I was used to. They've done it before for, I think, UT Martin in 08. Mm-hmm. I had to look it up, but just thought that was kind of interesting.
Are you a fan of it, Michael?
If they went to all orange, it would be a little different. I remember Tubbs. I think we had a away game win streak in the whites, and so playing South, I mean, it's not like a blackout or anything like that, so I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where a lot of people kind of stand. I mean, I think a lot of people are fired up about it, and we did mention it briefly yesterday because I'm kind of indifferent about it. I always think of Auburn's whites, the Stormtroopers, which I do genuinely think are some of the more crisp uniforms in all of college football. I just like those when Auburn goes on the road. That just kind of signifies, all right, Auburn's here, Auburn's on the road, let's see what happens. And I'm not opposed to it being at home, but I've always thought of that as being Auburn's road uniform, you know?
Yeah, I was used to LSU and every time we played them, we wore, you know, because they wore white at home. So mm-hmm. A little different. So it'll be interesting. I would like to just see just the special team side of things, and hopefully, you know, Pleasant gets, you know, some things. I'd like to see Malcolm Simmons get some returns and things in, and maybe the kicking game on both sides, punting and kicking. But that's really it, guys. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, always appreciate you calling in and listening, Michael. 334-321-1390. He mentioned the kicking game. Want to get to that in just a moment. I don't know who said it or where I saw it or if it was on X or another show or a pod. I don't know. But if you look up that game, the last time Auburn wore white at home, that game in 2008 versus UT Martin, if you look up that game just on Google and you look at the uniforms that they wore against Auburn, it's a pretty good idea of what orange jerseys could look like for Auburn if they were to go to them.
That was what Brad Law. It was what he said.
Is that what he said yesterday? Okay, yeah, that was in my brain somewhere, and I couldn't remember who said it or where I heard it. But if you go and look that up, I'm looking at it again right now. That's an idea of what Auburn would look like if they were to have an orange jersey, white helmet. This was with white pants as well, with kind of like the blue and orange stripe down the middle of the helmet, white number with kind of the blue fade off the background of it. They look sweet. Like, I would love Auburn to do something like that, but I don't know. I'm not going to be one to hype up the idea that Auburn's wearing white at home, but I'm not going to, I guess, poo-poo on it either, so.
I hype this up more than it being white face masks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I know that's kind of the standard, but rather than it, if you're going to do something, at least it's a jersey change, it's a full uniform change, rather than the orange and the blue stripe that goes over the center of the helmet have flipped for this game, and now it's blue on the outside and orange on the interior.
Auburn's going to wear orange socks against Louisville in 2015.
Right.
Right.
They're saving the all-orange jerseys for Georgia, in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, Christian has inside information. Yeah, run with that and tell everybody you know that Christian Griffin claims it, that Auburn's wearing orange uniforms against Georgia. He said it.
I will. Meet me back here October 13th. Meet me plenty of times here before then, but especially on October 13th when Auburn.
Could you imagine?
I couldn't.
No.
Would that be
to the same level of hype that Georgia did with the blackouts way back when Auburn came to town, where they warmed up in one and then ran out in black in the other?
I was at that game. That was the first game that I went to in Sanford Stadium.
I'm so sorry.
One of the, like, three.
Yeah, that was rough. That was a rough day for you.
It was a scary night.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
I was there for that one, and then I was there for Nick Chubb's. No, it was Todd Gurley's kickoff return to open up the night that got called back for a very clear hold.
I saw it. I think everybody wearing orange and blue saw it. So, yes, Michael, we appreciate the call. Give us another call for 334-321-1390. We're talking injury updates and who's going to be kicking this weekend right after this.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one to the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And if you want to give us a call, be a part of the conversation, do so. You can do that. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number. If you want to call in and be on the air, you can do that. Or shoot us some of your score predictions in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And talking more generically a little bit here about Auburn and South Alabama, we'll give our full picks and predictions at 3:30 coming up in hour number two. But some injury updates and kind of, I guess you could call them position updates, if you will. And we'll start with the one I think is the most concerning, at least for me personally, is special teams. And it's one that Michael brought up, who called in before we went to break. And we were basically trying to figure this whole thing out all week, and there was a open kicking competition for Auburn this week with Hugh Freeze and his special teams unit because of McPherson's unfortunately, his inability to kick hard and far, right? I mean, if it's not an extra point, they just don't feel good pushing him yet. Towns Magoo hurting himself last week and trying to work himself back from that. And then Connor Gibbs, the new guy, stepping in. And the word on the street, Christian, is that Connor Gibbs, if it's a long field goal, he's going to be the man to do it. I don't know if they said exactly what that range looks like, but if it's my guess, if it's 35 and out, I think Connor Gibbs is going to get his name called.
My guess would be maybe this weekend you could even throw him out there from 30, 35 just to try and build some confidence, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute, but yeah, if it starts with a four, there's no doubt that it's going to be Connor Gibbs that's going out and doing the kicking duties. You saw him come in after Towns got injured on that long field goal and did a really good job. Freeze mentioned it in the post-game press conference of the high towering kick that he was able to bring on special teams on kickoff coverage, basically eliminating any sort of return. Freeze was very, very pleased with that. Again, Gibbs was 10 of 13 last year at Southern Miss with a 59-yard field goal, and so the power is definitely there. Auburn's hoping that the consistency is right there as well. And yeah, we've had the conversations over the past couple of days of how much do you want to ease him into the fire, or is it going to be somewhat similar to a Towns Magoo situation last year of, all right, well, go. And obviously you saw the struggles that that brought. And so, yeah, you might see it. We talked about it, especially in the second half, man. Instead of going for a fourth and two at your own 30, bring it out there, especially if you feel comfortable with the lead right now, just to try and build a little bit more confidence later on in the season.
Which is so funny, because normally in a game like this, not to run up the score, but I would normally say, and I think we would normally say, okay, rather than kicking a 55-yarder, leave the offense out there, especially if it's the backup quarterback or you've got some second and third string receivers or your running backs are in rotation, right? You feel like in this type of game, your last tune-up, it would be, okay, don't take the long field goal. That doesn't do you any good. Let the offense kind of work and see what they can do. But I'm with you. I think this weekend absolutely could be one of those situations where it's like, look, SEC play starts next week. You've got to find who your kicker is, and you've got to find who your go-to guy is when you need a bucket, need an answer. And so, just as a reminder, right, your typical college PAT is 20 yards, and so I would expect, yeah, McPherson. I mean, I think you're right. I don't see them pushing him past 25-30. And hopefully in that situation, too, Auburn's trying to get in the end zone. You're not settling for a 25-yard field goal. Like, I would like that for me to be the case this weekend also.
How far was the kick he had against Baylor? Trying to pull that up exactly, just to see how far. It was a 21-yard field goal.
Yeah, McPherson,
so,
yeah.
Again, just about a PAT. And, again, if you get to that point where you feel like you need to use Connor and it's 30 yards, just say, hey, Alex, we're going to try and build a little bit more confidence. We're going to go with him and try and get him to find the uprights.
Which is so unfortunate, too, because with the kicking room that you have, like, again, we came into it with so much confidence if McPherson could get healthy, and you're talking about him dealing with a legitimate health issue. You're talking about Towns Magoo, who hurt himself kicking a long one last weekend, which just seemed to be unfortunate. I mean, between those two guys and even Connor Gibbs, I mean, you're talking about three dudes who have attempted so many, have kicked it so much in their lifetime. I mean, how many kicks you think they've had? Like 4,872 kicks in their lifetime. I mean, they have just so much experience in that room, and yet you're week three on the verge of SEC play, and you're trying to figure out who your kicker is. That's stressful if you're Hugh Freeze.
It is. I mean, it brings a certain level of stress on that side of things, and then the other injury reports that we're getting is on the good side of things, right, with the running back room. Jeremiah Cobb, you haven't heard anything really at all when it's come to the hand, which you feel like in this situation, no news is the best news.
I agree. Yeah.
Again, battling with the hand injury during fall camp, working his way throughout the season so far, got his first collegiate start last week, was told that he was practicing with a little soft cast on just to prevent any sort of flare-ups working his way into this game. And so very good news on the running back room side of things, as you're not forcing three, four new guys to tote the rock more than they'd feel comfortable with.
Yeah, and again, we've talked about the idea of Omar Mapson getting in quite a bit this weekend. We've been asked about Alvin Henderson. I wonder if that mindset has changed at all. I don't think so. I think you're probably okay this weekend between Jeremiah Cobb and then Omar Mapson. And I still believe that if this was an SEC game tomorrow, Damari Alston would go. I think that seems to be pretty standard. I think Darrell Robinson may be able to go if this was an SEC game. But the good news is, it's not. And you are playing South Alabama, and you are favored by 24.5, 25 points. And so all of these concerns that we have, you're hoping they don't come back to bite you tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a luxury that, A, you have so many guys in the running back room, and it's also a luxury, although we've talked about we wish that this South Alabama game wasn't necessarily where it is just because of how Ball State and how Auburn played Ball State last week. You want it to be one of these games that means a lot. But from the standpoint of injuries, it is a really good luxury to have for Auburn. And, yes, you can have multiple guys tote the rock because, I mean, just saying it like it is, I mean, this South Alabama front seven is not some geological form to where they're going to bend, they're going to break, they're going right to crack, unlike if you're facing Auburn's front four or front seven where you have so many guys that can plug so many different holes. You feel so much confidence. Shout out Jack Hudden for that as well. You feel like there's multiple guys where you can still feel comfortable using. You just hope that Jeremiah Cobb can be the guy you go to when you need a first down.
We posed this question to Brad Law yesterday, and I want to open it up to you, Christian, myself, and the folks listening too at 334-321-1390. Other than the win, what do you want to see tomorrow against South Alabama in preparation for Oklahoma, right? Brad said nothing. He wants this to be its own game. Go in, do your thing, and win and stay healthy. Execute the way you feel is necessary. But if I'm forcing you to answer it, Christian, if there is something you want to see from Auburn because of what Oklahoma could present tomorrow or next week, rather, and maybe even A&M or Georgia or just SEC play in general, is there something that you want to see from any aspect of this Auburn team tomorrow?
From the standpoint of anything specific, I feel like I could give a much better answer at 11:50 when you're seeing what the defensive strategy is going to be for South Alabama, because the easy answer is, okay, you've seen them run the football. You've seen this offense take the 6-yard hitch routes and turn them into 15-yard gains. I would love to see South Alabama press the receivers, send a little bit of pressure, make Jackson a little bit uncomfortable,
yeah,
and see what the deep ball looks like. Go watch these receivers win 50-50 matchups. You would love to see that. That being said, I don't want to see 50-50 balls if South Alabama's also running some sort of too high shell. They're in cover four, and you're throwing those balls into double or triple coverage. So that would be what I would love to see, because then you feel like you would have won three games by three totally different outcomes, and we've talked about what Brent Venables is most likely going to do, and it's going to be some sort of variation of that, of sending pressure at Jackson Arnold every single time he claps his hands and snaps the football, trying to clog up the holes in the run game, force these receivers to get inside leverage, force them to get over the top, and force Jackson Arnold to throw a perfect ball. I don't know what South Alabama's strategy is going to be. I would imagine it would be somewhat similar to that, and that way Oklahoma can use that, or not that they would do it, to combine and tag team it, but so that way Oklahoma can study what they've done over the past couple of weeks and find their best way to attack. But so, again, not necessarily a specific answer,
right,
but I would also love to see Auburn, if I did have to give an answer, of making the game, again, like Ball State, as simple and respectfully as boring as it possibly could be.
I hate to vocalize it and give it probably the broadcaster's jinx, because you know this, I'm one of the worst when it comes to... For the record, though, I do want to say this, that I called Auburn High's game-winning turnover forced last week against Opelika.
No, you just said that's what happened last year.
I said it may take that again, and then it happened one or two plays later. I'm just saying, so I had the reverse.
So you're 2-64 now?
Hey, we're on our way. Just call me Krista Griffin in Game Picks. We're on our way, baby. I hate to vocalize this. Sorry, that was a low blow. But I would love to see Auburn continue to take care of the football. That's what I would like to see, because let's be real, you're two games in and Jackson Arnold doesn't have a pick yet. Deuce Knight, and obviously limited action, doesn't have a pick yet. And Auburn isn't putting the football on the ground in the run game, right? I mean, that was a big concern with Damari Alston coming in this year, was, man, he runs really hard. He hits the gaps well. He's fast as lightning in the open field. But in the reps that he got last year and even the year before, he was fumble prone. He was inapt to put the ball on the ground. I want to see Auburn continue to take care of the football and clean up any of the drops that you've had. Haven't been many, but I think overall, that's what I would like to see Auburn do, continue to do, is just value possessions and take care of the football.
Between that and making the game again, we when I say respectfully as boring as possible, is it's exactly what happened with Ball State. And these teams are not comparable on that front from Ball State in South Alabama, either defensively nor offensively. But you'd also love to see the defense continue to get after it, continue to build confidence. And again, health right now is one of the most important factors. If Auburn can get out to a two-touchdown, three-touchdown lead, whether that's halftime, end of the third quarter, I would not be surprised if Auburn tried to take as much clock off the or as much time off the clock mm-hmm. as possible, just to make the second half as boring as it possibly could. And you might go out there and win by 21 points, and it doesn't necessarily feel great if you're leaving Jordan-Hare, but you look up, oh, okay, it's still a pretty darn good victory. Yet every single player is able to walk back perfectly fine into the locker room.
Well, I think you said it yesterday or the day before. I mean, look at, or maybe it was even, you know, Brad or one of our guests, but like, look at LSU last week against La Tech, 23-7. Georgia against Austin Peay, 28-6. Like, Texas versus San Jose State was 38-7. Like, no, Clemson had to escape Troy last week. I mean, things happen, right? These games are inevitable at some point in the season. We're just hoping Auburn avoids it in making it a close game in the fourth quarter.
And in 3 weeks, nobody's going to remember the final scores
Correct.
Of those games. Unless you're Florida and South Florida, but especially if Georgia goes into Knoxville and beats Tennessee, it's not going to be some point, well, yeah, they did that. But
remember when they struggled?
Remember in week two during that rain game, they didn't look very good against Austin Peay. Just saying that out there. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. And that's why, again, I hate that these games exist and that there's so many of them, because I don't want to say it's pointless, but if you get in and get out and win and stay relatively healthy, it's like, all right, what? Now what? Cool. All right, you get it. You beat the team you were supposed to. All right, pay them their money and move on, and let's get ready for SEC play. So, good thing is, it is a game that matters. It's a day that matters, with it being homecoming, early kickoff. There's a homecoming parade downtown tonight. I mean, there's a lot going on around town, and so there is more going on than just the football game. We'll make our final picks and predictions later on in the show, but when we come back, we'll talk a little high school football, tell you what you need to know for teams around the area, our respective broadcasts, and more. We'll do that and wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we get into a very busy hour number two, where we make all of our picks for week three. We've picked the 10 best, most entertaining, fun games to pick. We continue that as, I'm just on a historical tear right now. And so gotta continue that into week number three.
I don't know if historical is...
I figured you had a comment.
Is the right word. I mean, week one, yes, was very, very good.
I mean, I have a pretty good winning percentage going.
You do.
It's pretty good.
You do. You're 80% right now.
I mean, that's two, like, legendary Hall of Fame careers.
Sure.
Together.
It is.
So we'll do that coming up in hour number two.
Monopoly money is just stacking up here in the studio.
Lee Sterling's got me right at ParamountSports.com. So we'll do that in hour number two.
Yeah, that's what you do. You text Lee and say, Hey, Lee,
nope.
Christian sent me these 10 games. Would you mind just sending me who the winner is?
Nah. He doesn't give the goods out for free unless you call him right now or visit him at ParamountSports.com. He'll give you Texas A&M and Notre Dame.
Boom.
So we will do that coming up in hour two. We're also going to make our final picks for Auburn and South Alabama. Talking a little high school here for just a moment. Looks like we're going to get to the phone lines as well. We have a couple of high school broadcasts tonight. Christian's on the air for Lee Scott Academy over on AU 100.3, and I'm on the air on Wings 94.3 for Auburn High School versus Enterprise. It looks like we do have a phone call, 334-321-1390, and we will get to it now. Who do we have on the
– We have Andy.
Oh, okay. What's up, Andy?
Line.
How are you, man?
Hey, fellas. Where are you? Should be an easy weekend, but, you know, I deal with stocks, and ever since I've been – betting on – sports through Robinhood, it's just changed my life because you don't deal with spreads. And for instance, Baltimore, who were they playing the other day? Buffalo?
Yes, yeah, the Sunday night football game.
Right, I was buying as Buffalo spread kept getting worse and worse. And I'm not trying to get them to win. I'm just trying to get them to close the gap. And
sure,
if I'm paying 15 for 100, I just wanted to get to 30 for 100, and I doubled my money. And it looked so bad in the fourth quarter, I just said, well, I guess I lose this one. And I haven't lost many. And the next morning, I was listening to 106.7, and they said that they won. That was a nice surprise. So just since I've started betting sports like I do my stocks, and just looking at the same analogy, and you don't let the spreads, you don't let the odds deceive you, because I can't believe how much it does. There's always that game you expect to win. It's always your loss. For a decade, more than that, it blows my mind how bad I am at using common sense. So now I approach it like stocks and like a 98% win streak, which is impossible. So
awesome.
I'm sure I'll probably lose every game this year. But anyways, with that being said, my three picks, and I'm not telling anyone to take them.
Okay.
But just purely based on if sports is like stocks where, you know, Bitcoin goes to 110 and all of a sudden goes to 78 and people are trashing it. I'm like, why were you buying at 110, but now you won't buy it at 78 and then it booms up to 130. It makes no sense. I'm sure someone smarter than me knows the intricacies to it, but I just know the human nature and the mentality of it. It makes no sense. So Florida, Texas A&M, and Tennessee should all do well just because we are such a short-term memory. Florida's awful. They stink. And then they win a game. It's just, I called you guys in the beginning of the season saying, this is so weird because everyone's given Alabama, Georgia, Texas so much credit.
Right.
And some other ones just based on who they're. And half these teams have new quarterbacks. It just blows my mind how, like, Auburn's going to stink. Auburn's not going to win. They're going to fire their coach. And, of course, that's our worst fear, so it's probably going to happen. But, I mean, I'm talking like ESPN was saying this. Every person I was listening to on YouTube and stuff like that. So just I'll call Monday, see how the makes no sense picks went.
Okay.
And I look forward to hearing y'all's more rationale picks.
Appreciate that, Andy. Appreciate you calling in, being a part of the show. There you go. You can take those if you want. Andy's not saying you have to. And, look, we need his company to come in here and start spending some money and sponsor our show. I'll talk about Robinhood all you want. If they're spending some money, their sponsor on the line on ESPN 106.7. We'll do 2 hours of that and have some fun on some stock college football thing. So, Andy, appreciate you, my friend, loyal listener, and a loyal friend as well. Hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We're making our picks for week 3 of college football coming up in hour number 2, plus full breakdown of Auburn and South Alabama. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number 2 during Free for All Friday on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. If you missed any of hour number 1, you can catch it with the podcast version of the show. We'll get that posted for you right after the show today. You'll be able to find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, we talked to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com, and man, he had some awesome picks for some of the biggest games around the SEC this weekend. Also gave his betting pick on Auburn and South Alabama. And so if you want to go check those out, you can. That'll be in the podcast version of the show. And also gave some injury updates and what to expect from Auburn this weekend from the kicking game and the running game and things like that. And so again, all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, go back, check it out at ESPNAU.com.
For those that are joining us, as you always do on Free for All Friday, you know what this second hour looks like. It is 10 games, 10 picks, and then it's Auburn and South Alabama. And that's the best way to go about it. We are continuing that. This is week three. Jacob brings a record of 16-4. That clap is golly, my headphones need to be turned down.
Yeah, buddy.
You're just salty. Complete
you're
side note.
You're
no,
mad.
No,
you're
just
mad.
1v1. No. complete side note. Jacob Goins is the loudest clapper you will ever meet. And I think you're proud of it, but you also understand that, right?
Oh, like, I understand, yeah. But I am proud of it at the same time.
But Jacob brings a record of 16-4, and Christian does not bring a record we need the boo hotkey. Yeah, Christian in third person tried to make up some ground last week, picking some games that I didn't truly believe, and it backfired. A 5-5 week was
wow,
not the way
what a phony
to go
you
about
hear
everything.
That? You hear that, Auburn Opelika? He picked games he didn't believe.
I know.
He
nobody
led
else
you astray.
Because nobody does nobody picks anything with their heart instead of their head, right? I mean, nobody. Thankfully, Jacob Goins does not do that whatsoever. So 16-4 for Jacob. 12-8 here into week three. We're talking about the 10 games of the week, given our breakdowns, given our predictions, given our picks, and telling you what you need to know about that before we talk Auburn-South Alabama at 3:30.
If you want to be a part of this, don't really have time for phone calls, but we can get you on the text box if you want to send us your picks for some of these games. We'd love to hear from you if you have an upset pick, or maybe you got a lead pipe lock for the weekend. We want to hear from you. Shoot us a text, 334-784-1067 is the on-the-line text box to get you through to us, 334-784-1067. All right. We've got
and we'll open
games
up the phone lines again at 3:30.
Yes,
just
yes.
Otherwise, yeah, we've learned that we could spend all 2 hours. Mm-hmm. We could spend all 10 hours the week dissecting these 10 games.
Okay, we've got 10 games in about 25 minutes and a commercial break in between. So let's run. Let's get into this thing. We're going all the way top to bottom. We start in the ACC with Clemson, who has not looked good the first 2 weeks of the season. Most people's ACC champion, most people's top four team in the college football playoff, they now hit the road for the first time this season, taking on Georgia Tech. Early kick tomorrow, 11 a.m., Tigers favored by 2.5 against the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech.
Man, what a game this is, because when we made our college football playoff predictions, mine is looking really, really good right now, because I have the Clemson Tigers, had the Clemson Tigers winning the national championship, but I also had Georgia Tech making it to the college football playoff. This was, it was last week when the games got pushed up. I was looking at the overall radar, completely warm and dry, so no worry with anything on that side of things. I want to do it. I want to pick the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. But after Clemson got kind of dismantled in the first half by Troy, you feel like that was their wake-up call. They threw up all zeros in the second half and came back and got a really, you don't want to say a nice win, but a confidence-building second-half win, if you will. And I unfortunately think that will take them into Bobby Dodd and get the job done.
Yeah, I think this has got to be, has to be, must be a get-right game for Clemson.
Yes, it's scary because you hate saying that it's a must-win for Clemson already, but you almost feel like that's where you're at.
Fortunately for Clemson, their schedule is not that difficult because they're playing in the ACC. They play Syracuse, North Carolina, Boston College, SMU, Duke after this, Florida State, Louisville, and South Carolina with Furman in there as well. Not overly easy, but it ain't overly difficult either. Let's just be for real. But I look at this more so for Clemson. If you can't beat Georgia Tech, you ain't beating some of those teams on your schedule, and you ain't beating teams in the college football playoff. And so, look, I think Dabo Swinney's too good of a coach. I think he still has a really, really good team, and I think Clemson gets right. I think they get right big.
2.5-point favorites are the Tigers, 11 a.m. on ESPN. Another 11 a.m. game, this one over on ABC, Wisconsin and Alabama. Alabama, a 20.5-point favorite, almost 3 touchdowns being laid down at Bryant-Denny Stadium. You're already shaking your head, Mr. Goins.
What have we seen from Alabama that tells me they can beat a P4 team by 3 touchdowns? What have they shown us so far this season? The only other good team they play, they got smoked by Gus Malzahn and the Florida State Seminoles. Good job, you beat ULM last week because you ran up the score to make yourself feel good. Alabama's going to win this game. They are, and they should. And if they don't, they may fire Kalen DeBoer on the spot before he even gets back to his office at Bryant-Denny. And I'm sorry, I know the jokes are funny, but Danny O'Neill is bad, okay? Danny O'Neill's a bad quarterback at Wisconsin. They can't move the ball. They barely beat Miami of Ohio, a school full of partiers. Alabama's going to win, but I don't trust them to win easily. Wisconsin's covering a 3-touchdown spread here, ladies and gentlemen. Bama fans will be stressed. In the second half, they'll pull away. Alabama wins. I think they'll win by probably 14 or 17, but they don't cover a 21-point spread. Alabama wins. Wisconsin covers.
Simply for the other reasons that you bash on Wisconsin, I think Alabama does find a way to cover. I don't think it's necessarily a pretty game, but I could see like a 38-17 type of game simply because Wisconsin's inability to move the football. They did. They put up 42 points against Middle Tennessee, but yeah, you mentioned that was a 3-point game at halftime with Wisconsin and the Red Hawks of Miami. I will trust Alabama's defense to get the job done at home. Ryan Williams should be cleared, should be healthy. Jeremy Bernard's having a really solid year. I think Ty Simpson finds a way to get it out to his receivers enough to where they can win it in the second half.
I would love for this to be like a legacy game for Luke Fickell to get it turned around at Wisconsin. Yeah, Luke Fickell's still the coach there, by the way. The guy that they took from Cincinnati who took them to a college football playoff. Like, a really good hire at the time. It just hasn't worked out up there. This will be the start of what could be a really nasty run for Wisconsin. I'm sticking with my prediction that Luke Fickell will be fired before Wisconsin makes a trip to Bloomington, Indiana. Here's what they have coming up after this. They host Maryland, which doesn't look as bad as they did because Maryland is actually a halfway decent offense, possibly. Malik Washington's kind of awesome there for Maryland. So they'll host that. Then they go to Michigan before they play Iowa, Ohio State, Oregon, Washington, Indiana, and Illinois. Brutal. That's brutal. I think Luke Fickell gets fired this year, and this game will be the downward spiral for his very short career in Madison. So again, Alabama wins, but Wisconsin does cover because I don't trust Kalen DeBoer.
A 20.5-point favorite, the 11 a.m. game on ABC. We'll skip our third game. I put all of these just going chronologically with the day, but Georgia-Tennessee we will save towards the very end. A game that you feel like there was a little bit more on the line, no pun intended, in this game before last week, where West Virginia loses to Ohio. And you feel like, man, there is just nothing left. But Pitt at West Virginia, one of those rivalry games where if you listen to the game on TV, you're going to hear curse words. I'll just go ahead and promise you that because of Sweet Caroline. Pitt, a 7.5-point favorite. That's the 2:30 game on ESPN. Is there any way that West Virginia finds a way to keep this close? Only, again, a 7.5-point favorite are the Panthers of Pitt.
Look, this game is always fun. It's called the Backyard Brawl for a reason. These two schools absolutely hate each other. They're way too close in proximity, and their fans are both insane. But I think, weirdly enough, a team like West Virginia and a coach like Rich Rod, after you get embarrassed the way you did, who traveled to Ohio last week. I don't know why the heck you went to OU, but you did. A very cool town, by the way. Cool campus, fun school. I have a weird feeling.
Not as cool as Happy Valley.
Debatable. I have a weird feeling that West Virginia finds a way to pick themselves up right here.
Wow.
They have a way to keep it interesting, and it is It is at West Virginia, but Pitt's the better football team. Pittsburgh wins, but West Virginia covers.
You scared me because I wrote while you were giving your
I ain't picking West Virginia. Pittsburgh is one of those teams that they've put up a ton of points this year. I know it's against two bad schools, but I don't think West Virginia can keep up offensively. Give me Pittsburgh to win, but just because of the rivalry, give me West Virginia to cover. Especially if you can get 7 and a hook, absolutely give me West Virginia to cover, but Pitt to win.
Eli Holston by 2 touchdowns.
Sure. I think Pitt wins regardless. So, okay, let's move on to a game that on paper preseason was going to be awesome. A game preseason on paper that we were so excited to get this game back on the schedule. But what happened last week has taken a ton of air out of the balloon here for Florida and Miami. It's the Gators and the Canes. Miami favored by 17.5 points. And for those of you who are TV watchers, this one's on the CW.
South Florida.
You're right. Florida's at LSU. That's on me. I forgot. That game is coming up, though.
It is.
That game's coming up.
Regardless, though, it's a top 25 game on the CW. Is this the best game that the CW has ever held?
Possibly. The fact that the CW even exists is kind of a joke to me, but that's okay. Dang. Yeah, I really did fall for that. In the back of my brain, I was like, seems a little
early.
But
wow, already.
I was like, okay, wow, cool. I was going to run with it. I mean, I sold it. It's fine.
I mean, happily, if you want to pick Florida to beat Miami tomorrow, I will.
You'll give that
I
one
will
to
happily
me.
Let you pick
yeah,
that
I believe that one comes back as a no contest. South Florida and Miami, apologies. Look, it's been cute, South Florida. It's been fun, but you're going to get humbled. I will take South Florida to cover, though, because I ain't sold on Carson Beck in Miami yet. This could be the game that says, all right, maybe they are legit. Maybe they are the team that is flirting with a top 5 ranking, top 3 ranking, whatever you want to say it is. I'm taking Miami to win, and they'll win going away here.
South Florida, after going to the Swamp, has already played a ruckus atmosphere. Not that Hard Rock is anything crazy for Miami, but I believe that this game probably will be sold out and will be a really cool environment just because of it being essentially almost a home game for both of these teams and both of these fan bases. Again, a lot of these teams blend and they all play each other, which is really, really cool. You're not sold yet on Carson Beck, but there's a receiver that I'm sold on. He's a true freshman, and his name is Malachi Toney.
Yep.
And he is the real deal. He's an absolute stud. He's Carson Beck's already go-to guy. And then you also have C.J. Daniels, the guy that made that one-handed catch against Notre Dame, who's another pretty good option in there as well. I said it earlier in the week that if it stuck at 16.5, I would easily take Miami to cover it. I'm still going to stick with Miami to cover it. I think that if this was a game that Florida just absolutely dominated the Bulls of South Florida last week, I think Miami could let off the gas just a little bit, but I think South Florida has all of Miami's attention right now, and I think Carson Beck goes out there at home and plays a really good game. I like Miami to cover in this one.
Let's pick one more before we go to break. Where you want to go here? Which direction you want to head? Pick one more game before we get to break.
Just go down the next one.
Okay, Arkansas and Ole Miss it is. It's the Hogs in Oxford taking on Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Can Talen Green and Arkansas walk in and get it done against Ole Miss, who I guess proved a point last week, right? After beating Kentucky on the road, they made it dicey, but they got it done. This is an Arkansas team. It's put up a lot of points so far this year, Christian, in the first two games. Can they get it done? Can, against all odds, can our man Sam Pittman get up for a big game and let the Hogs score 50 points in 3 straight games? Any chance they do it?
What is the over-under in this game? I'm trying to pull that up right now because, yeah, 62.5. I was going to say it's going to be the first team to 40 that wins this game because Arkansas can move the football, but they can't stop the football. If this was an earlier afternoon game, and at first I thought it was, I was all for Talen Green and Sam Pittman walking in and getting the job done. But I think Vaught Hemingway at 6 p.m. on ESPN, I think that's enough for Lane Kiffin and Austin Simmons to kind of find his footing, who didn't play great but is relatively turnover prone so far as the starting quarterback. I think they find a way to get it done, but man, I think this one is high scoring.
You talk about Arkansas's defense not being able to stop the football. Only given up 21 points in the first two games combined, and you said it right there on the way out. Austin Simmons, very turnover prone. In his first two games this season, 3 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
He's looking at me. He's doing it.
I'm picking the better quarterback here. I'm picking Sam Pittman in Arkansas to go on the road at night, and get this thing done. Arkansas with the upset. As Lee Sterling says, wrong team favorite. Arkansas with the upset in Oxford this weekend.
Taylen Green's making them at night.
He is making them at night, or taking out the trash at night. And the trash is Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels. Okay, we take our first break in hour number two. We come back. We got more big games to pick for week 3 of college football. That's all here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on with week 3 picks of college football here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. All right, we got to move quickly here. We've got several games in very few minutes to pick.
We might be saving one or two for after the break.
Yeah, we may have to, especially just saying it like it is, since it is Auburn, South Alabama. We've talked a lot about that game, too, so we may have to do that. Okay. Do we want to go to Baton Rouge? Is that where we go next?
Yeah. I say we finish 7, 8, 9, 10. Not that this helps anybody on the radio. 7, 8, 9, 10, and then go back up to 3.
I like it. Okay. Florida and LSU. Actually, Florida and LSU. The Gators and the Tigers. My point still stands from what I was saying a moment ago about on paper preseason, this game looked really good, and how cool could this game have been? Some would say pretty damn cool. Aw, never mind. It's not even pot. Nah, moment's gone. Florida LSU, on paper, could have been really, really interesting this weekend.
Bordop, press the button. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
you threw me for a loop on that.
You're right. There was no tease. There was no, yeah, nothing. Sorry, man. That's all right. Florida LSU this weekend. If Florida
fire
was,
that guy.
This guy stinks. If Florida was 2-0 like LSU was, this would be a top 15 matchup. If Florida had not lost last week, this would be a top 15 matchup in the swamp. And if Florida had looked good last week, this would be one of the most anticipated matchups of the weekend. But since the Gators lost, everybody has just checked out, sent it in, done. Nobody is talking about LSU and Florida. Tigers favored by almost a touchdown. Does LSU get it done after a performance last weekend? It's Death Valley, it's at night, and it's Florida LSU.
Simply for no reason other than it would be the most Billy Napier way ever, I think this game is closer than a touchdown. Right now it's LSU -7.5, but it opened up at 8.5. So people are liking the Florida Gators just a little bit for the simple reason of why the heck not. And because of that, I have LSU winning, but I have LSU winning a very close game, possibly even having to come from behind. I have LSU 28, Florida 24.
I'll be honest, I need to see some more out of LSU. I know that may be a crazy statement to say, given the fact that they are 2-0 and have one of the best wins in college football so far this season, but remember what happened against Clemson. Their offense stalled. Their offense did nothing in the second half. Now, give Clemson's defense a bunch of credit, yes, but LSU...
More in the first half, no?
Well, yeah, I guess that's... In general,
but
though,
Clemson's offense did not help.
Correct, yeah.
It helped LSU because it was basically their third team cheering for LSU.
Correct, yeah. They did score in the third and fourth. But just in general, the offense didn't look as crisp as I was hoping it would. And if Florida isn't able to get off the mat, it could get ugly. But I'm with you. I think Florida finds a way to hang around. I think DJ Lagway will make a play or two. But I like LSU in this football game.
LSU. We'll skip 8, actually. We'll continue to work our way down. A game that you made a very early prediction on earlier
and
in
I'm
the week.
With it, baby.
Vanderbilt at South Carolina. South Carolina currently a 3.5-point favorite. A 6:45 kick on SEC Network. Williams-Brice Stadium is going to be absolutely rocking. It's going to be, even if you're not planning on watching too much of this game, turn it on at about 6:40 and watch the pregame festivities, because it is really, really cool. The environment is awesome. I definitely recommend going for those that have not, but showing that the team is not necessarily following suit, because 3.5 tells me it's just about straight up, and the team, they're giving a home team a field goal.
Good thing is Diego Pavia has never gone on the road to a hostile environment in the SEC and won a tough game, right? Good thing is Vanderbilt is old Vanderbilt, and they're terrible, and nobody wants them, and ain't no way Vanderbilt could win a tough game. Yeah, okay, I said it last week, and I'll say it again.
Oh, okay. I thought you were making the Auburn connection. I was like, last year, was it that hostile? You're talking about Blacksburg.
Oh, no, I was talking about Auburn.
Oh, okay.
Until Diego Pavia gives me a reason to bet against him, I ain't doing it. Give me Vanderbilt. Give me them to win outright. The Commodores are moving to 3-0. They're going to have a top 15 win on their resume, because I think their defense is going to play a really, really good game. I think they're going to make it really tough for the Norris Sellers. I see this one being a higher scoring game than some people might think. But I like Vanderbilt. I like Diego Pavia to make the game-winning play. Vanderbilt walks in and gets it done as an upset.
Believe it or not, Diego Pavia has been outspoken on social media and with cameras in front of his face about this game.
And he's never backed it up before.
He hasn't. He hasn't. But, again, he's not one to shy down. He's talked about it all year long of how they've had this game circled on their calendar, and I believe one of their offensive linemen, if it wasn't their defense, I think it was their offensive linemen, that guaranteed a win for Vanderbilt.
They better be ready. That South Carolina defense is legit.
So the South Carolina defense, man, that front four, arguably the best in the SEC, I think it's going to show out. Diego Pavia is at his best when he can move the pocket, and it's not quite the RPO, but it's a little bit of a pass scramble option outside the pocket where he can make somebody miss, fall forward, and pick up 7 yards, or he can throw to the two receiver routes that are open downfield. I think South Carolina's defense finds a way to get the job done. They limit Diego Pavia, and I think Lenora Sellers finds a way to shove something up his offensive lines, you know what, to give him time for himself and his running back. I think Lenora Sellers runs for, I don't know what his line is, but I think he runs wild in this game, and I think Nick Harbor shows up once again for a deep touchdown late to win.
Let's pick this one quickly on the way out. Really quick. Duke at Tulane. Can Duke make it up? Can they get back in on track, or can Tulane get it done as the G5 playoff favorite?
Tulane, 1.5 favorites. Nobody's talking about them, and I love Duke before, but, man, they're so turnover prone. Oh, man, I haven't given this one too much thought. Give me Duke to respond. Why not?
Oh, man, I was going to pick Duke to respond. Dang it. Well, for that matter, I'll pick Tulane because they're the G5 playoff favorite. So, green wave, baby. I believed it the whole time. We pick two more games right after this and talk Auburn and South Alabama. We got 30 minutes here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. Okay, two more games to pick. We took our time a little bit and knew we had a little time to bleed into this segment as well. Two more games to pick before we break down our final thoughts on Auburn and South Alabama.
I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. Woo!
It's my favorite clip of all time.
I was ready that time.
I was not, believe it or not. I am fired up to be here today, and hopefully people are too. We're fired up for high school football coming up later. We'll tell you about that at the end of the show. Okay, let's pick Texas A&M Notre Dame, and then we'll pick Georgia Tennessee, because I'm going to have some fun on both of these games. Texas A&M on the road at Notre Dame, a night game, 6:30 kick.
And where else?
At Notre Dame Stadium.
On NBC.
Oh, of course it's on NBC.
That's,
I mean, of course. That's exactly. But a top 20 matchup, believe it or not, top 20 matchup. Notre Dame ranked 8th in the country after playing just one game and losing that game. Texas A&M, 2-0 on the year against UTSA and Utah State. They've put up 42 points and 44 points, respectively. Your thoughts, A&M and Notre Dame. What's your pick?
Man, when you look at the quarterbacks, both have so much to try and prove. Marcel Reed has done an incredible job so far this year. You have guys like Le'Veon Moss, and you have those five offensive linemen returning to kind of holster your offense. You go and get Casey Concepcion from NC State. He's one of the leading receivers for Marcel Reed, one of the go-to receivers. Notre Dame, you have Price, you have Jeremiah Love. But I just don't know if I trust Notre Dame out wide to get the job done. I think this could be a very low-scoring game. Notre Dame, again, right around a touchdown favorite. I don't think it's that one way or the other. I think it is, you could see a 21-17 type of game. I think Marcel Reed's legs is the difference maker in this game. I think Notre Dame struggles in the trenches more than they have recently. I'll trust the offensive linemen to get the job done. It's not going to be pretty throwing the football for either team, but Marcel Reed, once you get into the red zone or possibly a long run, is going to be the difference maker in this game. Texas A&M 21, Notre Dame 17.
How about that? Everything you just said was pretty much what I have written down in my notes as well. I like Texas A&M in this game. I do. If Marcel Reed and his offensive line can shake off the early buzz of Notre Dame Stadium, because that place is going to be crazy, I'm taking the team that's played two games compared to one. I'm taking a team that's put up 40 points of offense both times and a Notre Dame team that looked abysmal against Miami and had to scramble down the stretch to try and make it a game. You give up 200 yards and a couple of scores to Carson Beck, you're giving up even more than that to Marcel Reed. Give me Texas A&M. I think the spread's too big. I think the wrong team is favored. If this game is played in College Station, A&M wins by double digits. Give me Texas A&M to walk in and beat Notre Dame outright tomorrow night.
Let's see. What's the over-under in this game? Hold on, I'm pulling it up. Right now as well, 50.5. So, yeah, they're not expect. I mean, not that that's...
That's not crazy.
No,
I mean, you're 24-24 if to go under or something like that. So 27-24 would get it done. I mean, if you're looking at an over there. So
yeah.
I do. I like Texas A&M to win. I didn't know you had that picked either, but I've liked that one all week. I like Texas A&M in this game.
Marcel Reed, man, I love what he's done. And you've seen the year one to year two jump on the accuracy. Legs haven't been too big of a factor, especially because he got popped last Saturday and had to come out of the game for a little bit, but supposed to be fully healthy in this game. Hasn't had to show the speed of the legs yet, but Notre Dame's defense isn't ready for it.
And what a chance for Mike Elko in this game to go in and out-coach a really good coach on the other sideline.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a really big opportunity. We use that word a lot, but this is one that I really look at for Mike Elko, for Marcel Reed, for Texas A&M, who after this game, just in case people forgot, they have a bye week, then they come to Auburn, then they play Mississippi State, Florida, and Arkansas. There's some winnable games in there for Texas A&M.
Auburn goes there.
You're right. Auburn goes to Texas A&M. Apologies. Off a bye week for A&M. So
yeah.
That's, I mean, this is a huge chance for them to really build some momentum. Then they have LSU, Missouri, South Carolina, Texas. So A&M's looking to stack some wins and stack them early, but I have A&M winning this game over Notre Dame tomorrow night. Okay.
Nope, you have the T-box. You're out in front. You have the honors. Georgia and Tennessee. Georgia's a 3.5-point favorite.
I'm not used to having honors.
2:30 kick on ABC. Man, ABC is going to be stacked tomorrow. You have Alabama,
yeah.
Wisconsin to start it off, Georgia, Tennessee, and then you go Florida, LSU at 6:30. It's a pretty solid slate.
Yeah, that's pretty
for,
big.
For ABC. But no, sir, you birdied one. You birdied two, if we're calling it that. And I parred one, bogeyed two. So
that
you got a two-shot lead. Georgia, 3.5-point favorite walking into Neyland Stadium. Does Kirby Smart get it done?
Here's the thing, man. We've talked so much about this game this week. The fact that Georgia's won 8 in a row. It's Kirby Smart on the sideline. They need a game to look good. They haven't played anybody. Marshall and Austin Peay, terrible. Rain delay last week caused some inconsistencies with this Georgia football team. And this is one of the better Tennessee teams I've seen through the first 2 weeks of the season in a long, long time. But how many times have we seen this story, seen this movie, heard this show about Tennessee? Here come the Vols. Tennessee is back. This is the best team they've had since it was 2004. Like, they've got the offense, they've got the defense, and it's in Knoxville, and it's at Neyland, and blah, blah, blah. Knox Vegas is going to be going crazy. How many times have we heard that? My whole life, we've heard that. The last 21 years, we've heard that about Tennessee. And the time that they try to play a big game, every time they start getting hype, a big game comes up on the schedule, and Tennessee urinates down their leg, okay? It happens every single time. And don't forget, it is Kirby Smart on the other sideline. Probably the best in-game coach and pre-game coach and motivator in college football today. Georgia has not looked good. Tennessee has. I think Aguilar is the answer. I think their defensive front's the best in the SEC. Georgia's probably more talented. But Tennessee finally breaks the streak. Give me Joey Swagular, as Lee Sterling said. Our buddy Brody Thomas over at Winter Timber Outdoors. I was talking to him earlier today, and he is on his way to Knoxville. He's a longtime Tennessee fan. He's going to be there. He called him Joey Swagular. I'd never heard anybody say that, and I told him I was going to take it from him until Lee Sterling used it too. I think Tennessee wins. I'm finally buying in on this Tennessee team. I think they get it done. I think they look good. I'm picking the Vols in this game.
What does Christian think? Give me the best Howie Mandel. Instead of we're going to get it right after this, open the case right after this, let's build the tension. Dan in Auburn, you're on the line. Do you have thoughts on this game, or is it something else on your mind here on this Friday afternoon?
I was just going to contribute to this current conversation.
Yeah.
I think I called in a few months ago, and I had looked up the rosters and stuff for Georgia, and I'd mentioned that they replaced 4 starters on the offensive line, and they didn't bring in anybody that was a veteran or, you know, from another team that had played. Pretty much, I mean, they have talented guys, but they're all brand new except for one guy. And then, of course, you have your new quarterback, you know, replacing a running back and multiple wide receivers. And it's like there's a lot of pieces to change and then just be a well-oiled machine. Now, sure. Georgia, you know, has done it in the past, but that on just on that side of the ball alone, you can kind of see they don't look great on offense. And so I think that you're going to probably find out this week that Georgia has a little ways to go. Now, defensively, you know, they lost 8 starters on defense, but usually they can, you know, rotate that into the defense still, you know, does well. But I think offensively is their big problem.
I think so. I don't think they can run the football. I really don't. I mean, they forced themselves to run the ball against Marshall and even more against Austin Peay in a game. Again, it was weird with the weather delays and moving up and things like that, but I think they forced themselves to run the football against an inferior opponent. And again, I think Tennessee's defensive front is the best in the SEC right now. So I'm with you, Dan. I think Georgia's offense really struggles in this game, and I think Joey Aguilar is the better quarterback.
Yep. I think it's time, like you said. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks so much, Dan. Appreciate your call. Again, I have Tennessee. You heard Lee Sterling say earlier, he said Gunnar Stockton's a backup quarterback. That's the best he can be as a backup quarterback. I'm picking the better quarterback here. I am. I have Tennessee.
Oh,
go ahead, partner. What you got?
Oh, man. Oh, man. You want to talk about losing sleep. I haven't lost any sleep trying to pick this game.
This was the hardest one of the weekend.
It was. And we've both told ourselves off air and had plenty of conversations of, this is why Georgia's going to win. This is why Tennessee is going to win. This is why Georgia could lose. This is why Tennessee could lose. And watching college football, Georgia winning versus Georgia finding a way to lose. Not necessarily Georgia, but teams in general, two very, very different things. I agree with everything. Man, and I think that Joey Aguilar is the better quarterback. I think Tennessee might have the more talented team this year. But there's a coach.
Yeah.
On the other side of the football field that you compared, you didn't compare him, but you said until Diego Pavia gives you a reason not to bet with him. Until Kirby Smart gives me a true reason to. Tennessee, I think it was Jordan Hill that mentioned this, and this was the stat that stuck with me. During the 8-game win streak for Georgia, Tennessee's averaged 3.2 yards per carry. And it's a team that was top 10 in rushing offense last year with Dylan Sampson. Josh Heupel, you hear all about the offensive game planning, the offensive guru, his ability to throw the ball down the field. It's a team that wants to run the football at heart. And you know what? Georgia's offense doesn't stop a run. It's Georgia's defense that does. Georgia's front seven finds a way. Tennessee's going to outgain Georgia in this game. And it's going to be one of those box scores you look at, and it's how the hell did Tennessee not dominate this game? But Tennessee has two crucial turnovers on the plus side of the 50. I could see a pick six for Georgia. With 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Why not? On a slant that gets bought up and read or bottled up and taken to the house. Georgia finds a way to win a really gross game. And it's one of those to where if you're a Georgia fan, you're happy with the win, but it doesn't necessarily feel good, which is really something odd to say. But they'll go bark. They'll bark in public, and they'll be very proud of it, but they'll get back in their car and say, oh, gosh, what was that? What was that? Tennessee lost this football game, but I think Georgia's defense goes and finds a way to get the job done. Tennessee, or Georgia 24, Tennessee 21.
There you go. Okay, picks are in. Let's run through them one more time before we take our final break. Get final thoughts on Auburn, South Alabama, plus plug our high school stuff one more time. Clemson, Georgia Tech, we both have Clemson getting it done in a bounce-back game. Wisconsin on the road at Alabama, we both have Alabama winning this game. Believe I have Wisconsin covering the spread. You have Bama rolling in this matchup, Christian. We continue the game we just talked about, Georgia-Tennessee. You pick Georgia, I pick Tennessee. Pitt and West Virginia, we both have Pitt going in and taking care of business. South Florida on the road at Miami. It's been cute, it's been fun, but it is over for South Florida. We both have Miami. You have Miami big in this game on a 17.5 point spread. Arkansas and Ole Miss in the SEC, a night game in Oxford at the Grove. You picked Ole Miss. I have Arkansas with the upset. Florida and LSU, it ain't happening, Billy. Get out of here. LSU for both of us in this game tomorrow night. Funny enough, we both have Texas A&M to go on the road and take down Notre Dame in Indiana. So looking forward to that one. Also, Vandy in South Carolina, we're split on this one, my friend. You're sticking with your guy. You're sticking with Lenore Sellers, old glasses himself. You're sticking with him.
They're specs, okay?
Whatever.
Respect the specs, all right?
I don't. As a glasses, contacts, bad eyesight person, I don't. Maybe he should wear them when he plays. You have South Carolina winning
He's
this game.
He's giving them to his offensive linemen. They've been blocking each other.
Yeah, they need it. You have South Carolina. I have Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt to go on the road and pull off yet again another upset for the Commodores. And then Duke at Tulane in the game we are so confident in and we picked by heart and have all of our Monopoly money on. You pick Duke. I pick Tulane. That's our top 10 games in week 3 of college football. Let's take our final break. We'll come back, give final thoughts on Auburn, South Alabama, plug high school games and more. We'll have that for you as we wrap it all up after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today, man. If you've missed any of it, be sure to go back and catch up with the podcast. You can do so on our station website at ESPNAU.com. We post the podcast there in our podcast center each and every day, so be sure you go back and do that. Or just wherever you get your podcast. We've talked a lot of college football for week 3, where games are really starting to ramp up, man. The contest and the matchups coming on tomorrow are really some good ones tonight too. Don't overlook some of the games tonight. I didn't even realize there was a game last night until it was halftime of the NFL game because my Packers played and, you know, looking like the best team in the NFL. And I was like, oh, there's an ACC game on right now. So, but yeah, a couple good games tonight, ton of good games tomorrow. We've talked about a lot of them here on the show today. So we made our picks. We also talked to Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. If you're looking to have a little extra fun this weekend, check him out. He'll get you hooked up over there. We've talked to Auburn in South Alabama and a whole lot more. So check it out on the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
You mentioned the two games tonight, Colorado going to Houston to take on the Fighting Connor Wegmans. You haven't heard that name in a while. That's right, the starting quarterback for Houston and the third-string quarterback for Colorado. It's not Juju Lewis, and it's not Caden Salter. Neither one of those guys got the starts. It's a freshman who's making his starts over in Houston. The other one, Kansas State at Arizona. That's the 8 p.m. game on Fox. Man, Kansas State's trying to get out of the mud, trying to get out of their own way. Noah Fifita in Arizona. Not looking too bad right now for a team that finished last in the Big 12 one year ago.
Yeah, so there's a couple games tonight. Again, a lot going on tomorrow as well. And speaking of tomorrow, Auburn and South Alabama, tons going on over on Wings 94.3. The guys get going 7 a.m. bright and early tomorrow morning. That's earlier than no, it's not. I was going to say it's earlier than Coach Dunn gets up, but he gets up at like 2 in the morning to go and smoke a bunch of meats over at Country's. But yeah, 7 a.m. tomorrow, Jack Hutton, Uncle T-Bone, they're on the air for game day on Wings 94.3. They'll be live from 7 to 9, telling you everything they think about the upcoming games for the day. Also, Auburn and South Alabama as well. They're on the air 7 to 9, and then they hand it off to the Auburn Sports Network from 9. They'll take you all the way up to kickoff and have the full game broadcast on Wings 94.3 on the Auburn Sports Network between Auburn and South Alabama. Christian, your final thoughts and picks quickly on Auburn, South Alabama, and then we'll plug high school stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that this is a relatively boring game, and you hate to say it like that, and I don't mean from the standpoint of scoring, but I would love for it to just be 4 yards in a cloud of dust. When Jackson Arnold needs to throw the ball, he does. Or, again, what we talked about earlier, if South Alabama is giving you the entire third part of the field, throw the ball deep. Let's see what Jackson Arnold has. Let's see these receivers go win some 50-50 balls. But I don't expect you to see anything too fancy. And so because of that, I'll say that South Alabama covers. But again, I have it 45-21, so right at that 24-point line.
If Auburn takes this game seriously and prepares the way that they're supposed to, they'll win it easily. They'll feel good about themselves. And we'll be talking about a 3-0 Tigers team heading to Norman this season, which is everything you could have asked for and then some. So I think that happens, and we'll talk about that coming up on Monday. But you and I are heading out. We're hitting the road to go to our respective places. You're on the road for Lee Scott Academy. I'm at home for Auburn High. Tell the people what they need to know.
Yeah, Lee Scott Academy on the road for the first time this season. They take on the Bobcats of Beulah. Join myself and my color commentator, Rhett Chrome, over on AU 100.3, AUHits.com. And that Radio Alabama app. Lee Scott looking to move to 4-0 and 2-0 in region play.
Auburn High, we're at home against Enterprise. Just the second home game of the year. We're back at historic Duck Sanford Stadium. Very excited to be back there. Expect a really good crowd for Auburn High tonight. We're back home after beating Opelika last week. 1-0 in region play. Second game in the region. This game a year ago was super hyped up. Auburn nearly dropped a 60 bomb on them, and we're hoping we can do something similar to that this year. We're on the air over on Wings 94.3, WingsFM.com, and as Christian said, if you have that Radio Alabama app, that's the best thing to use. If you don't, download it right now. Radio Alabama in your App Store, Google Play. You can bounce around all of our different high school networks. Myself, Rob Pate, Jack Hutton, we're on the air. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 on the Auburn High Sports Network on Wings 94.3.
Boom.
Boom. Happy Friday, folks. What a great show today. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy high school football tonight, college football Saturday, NFL football on Sunday, and we're back right here on Monday, 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.